This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. For approximately the last 15 years, Patrick Madrid has been a somewhat well-known apologist for the Vatican II Church. I say the Vatican II Church and not the Catholic Church because, as our material proves, the post-Vatican II Church, which calls itself Catholic, is actually not the Catholic Church. More on that later. In a debate with a Protestant apologist named James White, Patrick Madrid uttered a truly astounding heresy. This heresy helps illustrate why the Vatican II Church is not Catholic and why its adherents do not have the Catholic faith. Before we play Patrick Madrid's jaw-dropping heresy, one needs to know something about James White. James White is a Protestant apologist who has spent approximately 20 years attacking the Catholic faith. He is a Reformed Baptist. He holds that Roman Catholicism is a false gospel. He rejects Catholic teaching on the papacy and considers it to be an anti-Christian fiction. He rejects Catholic teaching on the priesthood as a myth. He rejects Catholic dogmas concerning Mary's Immaculate Conception, perpetual virginity, and bodily assumption. He rejects the Council of Trent's teaching on justification as unbiblical. He holds that the Catholic Mass is a supreme blasphemy. He rejects Catholic teaching on transubstantiation. He rejects Catholic teaching on the canon of Scripture. And he holds that every single prayer a Catholic offers to Mary is an act of idolatry. James White is very familiar with Catholic dogmatic teaching on these subjects. In fact, he has studied Catholic teaching on these points in an effort to find fault with the Church's official proclamations. James White is therefore obstinate in his beliefs. In a debate with James White in 2002 on Long Island, New York, on the topic of the veneration of saints and images, Patrick Madrid said the following. Keep in mind that in the following clip, Patrick Madrid is referring to James White. This clip comes from White's version of the debate, which is available in full from his organization, Alpha and Omega Ministries.
If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, nor again can the head say to the feet, I do not need you. Tonight, what we have witnessed here is one of the members of the body of Christ saying to all those members of the body of Christ in heaven, I do not need you.
Patrick Madrid says that James White is, quote, one of the members of the body of Christ, end quote. This is astounding. It's beyond heretical. First, consider all of the magisterial pronouncements in councils, in papal bulls, and encyclicals, which declare that people who reject Catholic dogma automatically become heretics and sever themselves from the Church. Madrid's statement is a complete repudiation of all of them. Consider, for example, the following teaching of Pope Leo XIII, which sums up Catholic dogma on this point. Pope Leo XIII, Satis Cognitum No. 9, June 29, 1896, quote, can it be lawful for anyone to reject any one of those truths without by that very fact falling into heresy, without separating himself from the Church, without repudiating in one sweeping act the whole of Christian teaching, end quote. As we see, to reject a magisterial truth by that very fact causes one to fall into heresy and it severs one from the Church. If James White, who rejects dozens of Catholic dogmas with obstinacy, is not a heretic, then no one has ever been a heretic. Madrid's statement is blasphemy. Second, Madrid's statement actually means that the body of Christ is idolatrous. For one person whom Madrid considers to be a member of the body of Christ, for example James White, considers what the other members of the body of Christ do in practice to be idolatry, and all of them, according to Madrid, coexist within the one body. Third, consider all of the papal pronouncements that those who reject the papacy, such as White, are outside the body of Christ. In the same vein, consider all of the Church's dogmatic pronouncements, which declare that everyone in the Church has the same faith. In light of this fact, one can say that Madrid's blasphemy flushes Catholic dogma down the toilet. Ephesians 4:4-5 tells us that there is one body of Christ, and that in the one body there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Based on this verse, many popes have solemnly proclaimed that all in the body have the same faith. Pope Boniface VIII, Unum Sanctum, November 18, 1302, quote, one is my dove, my perfect one, which represents the one mystical body whose head is Christ, And in this, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, end quote. These facts should show any Catholic that Patrick Madrid is not a Catholic apologist, but a raging heretic. And what's scary is that almost every apologist for the Vatican II sect would hold a similar position. They would refuse to call an anti-Catholic Protestant a heretic. But that makes sense because, as we've pointed out, the Vatican II sect, which is not the Catholic Church, teaches that Protestants are part of the body of Christ, that they are not heretics, and that they don't need conversion. This heretical position comes from Vatican II. In a debate on Sola Scriptura with Protestants who attack the Catholic faith, Patrick Madrid likewise said of his opponents, quote, "I know I'm dealing with good and godly men," end quote. Madrid's wicked theology is only the rotten fruit of his adherence to the Vatican II counterchurch. His position, of course, is also a repudiation of the dogma that the Catholic faith is necessary for salvation. Moreover, Madrid's hypocrisy is appalling. In his book, More Catholic Than the Pope, he criticizes people who have problems with Vatican II and operate independently of the Vatican II sect. He refers to some of these people as, quote, schismatic traditionalists. Perhaps Madrid hasn't yet learned, but a schismatic is not a member of the body of Christ. So, according to Madrid's rhetoric, independent, quote, traditionalists who claim to accept the papacy are, quote, schismatics, and thus not members of the body of Christ, while James White, who rejects the papacy, the Mass, Catholic sacraments, Catholic councils, and calls Catholic prayer idolatry, is a member of the body of Christ. Frankly, all of this shows why people like Madrid, who obstinately defend the Vatican II sect, are phonies who don't care about the truth at all. If they did, they would accept the true Catholic faith, denounce obvious heretics such as James White, which is the truly charitable thing to do, and come to the proper conclusion that the Vatican II sect is not Catholic. See our website, VaticanCatholic.com, for all of the proof on that matter. But these people are not in it for God. Their intentions are impure, and that's proven by the actions and statements we've been exposing. Finally, I quickly want to cover another error of Patrick Madrid, which we exposed in our book, The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II. In his book, Pope Fiction, published by Basilica Press, Patrick Madrid attempts to refute the claim that Vatican II's teaching on religious liberty is heretical. Madrid argues that Vatican II was not contradicting church teaching at all, but simply teaching that we should not coerce, that is, force people to believe. Patrick Madrid, Pope Fiction, page 277, quote, "Notice the Declaration on Religious Liberty endorses not a general freedom to believe whatever you want, but rather a freedom from being coerced into believing something. In other words, no one is to be forced to submit to the Catholic faith," end quote. This is completely false. It's such a poor argument, in fact, that it's remarkable he followed through with publishing it in a book of this nature. It's true that the Catholic Church teaches that people must not be forced to believe, but Vatican II didn't merely teach that the Catholic Church does not force or coerce an unbeliever to be a Catholic. Rather, Vatican II taught that states don't have the right to put down the public expression and propagation and practice of false religions, because the civil right to religious liberty should be universally recognized. Again, we must understand the distinction between the two different issues which the dishonest defenders of Vatican II sometimes attempt to conflate. First issue, the Catholic Church doesn't force or coerce a non-believer to believe, since belief is free. That's true. Second issue, the state cannot repress the public expression of these false religions. This is where Vatican II contradicts the Catholic Church on religious liberty. The second issue is the key. To understand this better, let's give an example. If a state were presented, for instance, with Muslims and Jews holding their religious services and celebrations in a public place, even if they were not disturbing the peace, or infringing on any private property, or upsetting the public order at all, the state could and should, according to Catholic teaching, repress these services and celebrations and send the Jews and Muslims home. Or it would arrest them if the law were well established, since these services scandalize others and could cause others to join these false religions. The state would tell the non-believers their obligation to be Catholic before God, and it would try to convert them by directing them to the Catholic priests, but it would not force them to do so. This is a clear example of the distinction between 1. Forcing one to be Catholic, something the Church condemns since belief is free, and 2. The state's right to repress false religious activity in public, something the Church teaches. Pope Pius IX, Syllabus of Errors, number 78, quote, "Hence, in certain regions of Catholic name, it has been laudably sanctioned by law that men immigrating there be allowed to have public exercises of any form of worship of their own. Condemned. But Vatican II teaches just the opposite. The passage I will now quote is a clear example of Vatican II's heresy on religious liberty. This passage is utterly indefensible, and it cuts through all of the distortions and lies that are advanced on this matter, such as the distortion from Patrick Madrid we discussed. Vatican II, Dignitatis Humanae, number 3. Quote, "So the state, whose proper purpose it is to provide for the temporal common good, should certainly recognize and promote the religious life of its citizens. With equal certainty, it exceeds the limits of its authority if it takes upon itself to direct or to prevent religious activity." End quote. Here Vatican II says that the state exceeds its authority if it dares to direct or to prevent religious activity. We just heard how the Syllabus of Errors condemned the idea that the state should not prevent the public expression of false religions. This proves that Vatican II's teaching on religious liberty was clearly false and heretical, and that Vatican II wasn't merely teaching that one should not be coerced to become Catholic. There are many other quotes we could provide from papal documents to further condemn Vatican II's heresy, but you can see those on our website and in our materials. Yet the duped members of the Vatican II sect, being led by faithless apostates like Patrick Madrid, who don't even believe that anti-Catholic Protestants are heretics, are left in their darkness on this and other matters. In fact, this crowd is so willfully blind that they will praise heretics such as Madrid as defenders of the papacy and as leading lights when he doesn't even believe in Catholic teaching on the papacy, and they will laugh at and mock true Catholics who correctly point out that an adherence to the papacy requires one to reject Vatican II and the non-Catholics who imposed it. They are blind and leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. Matthew 15:14.